It is August 26th, 2023, Sabbath day, and it's Q&A Sabbath. And this is question number 513, and that's all I'm going to do is one question this week because it's a pretty much of a humdinger. It's a bit long here. The question is there a prophecy regarding 2520, that, 2520 years? And I do use a sister, her email, but I don't know how many emails I've had on this over the years. I think even Sean and I had an email 5 or 6 years ago or something about this, the 2520. And I found so many emails and so many responses, and I thought, oh, man, I'm not going to compile all these together. I'm just going to run with it. I'm going to share with it my response like I did back when I got this email. I don't even remember when I got it. It could have been a few months ago. But the question came up again, so I figured I'd just use the most recent email that I received, and I believe this was a few months ago. So I'm going to share again the information that I shared in that email, along with some other stuff that I dug up. But the question was, good morning, the 2520 prophecy is false, correct? And then she goes on to say that I had never heard of it until a sister was telling me about it just the other day. Praise the Lord, as I was looking into it, I was led to an article from the Seventh-day Remnant Voice of April, June, 2013, where on page 9, you talked about it. And so this is back when we were still kind of connected with them, but I don't know if it was a 2013, because I think we more or less parted our ways in 2013. It was probably right around the time that we had that schism, if you will, even though you really can't call it that. Because there was only a few people that left. Because they didn't really have anybody. It doesn't matter. So anyway, she goes on to say, and when I went to look for the Review and Herald quote mentioned, I couldn't find that one on Ellen White Estates, but I found it on an Adventist Archives. Praise the Lord. And I want to again thank you, because she says, I have attached that below as well as page 4. So that's where I got it. In other words, it was confirmation onto me, which she sent me, which I will read today, but later. But then she says, the only thing I did notice was that V. Bates still has a chart, though it is out of stock. By the way, it's back in stock, with the 2520 prophecy included. Was this a mistake, something that Vern recanted later in his walk? And in his CD where he speaks about it, is it to support or to denounce it? Because I mentioned the CD. For this dear sister has a CD from him on it. Before kindly correcting the dear sister and brother, is there any information that would be important for me to know, or is there anything that I'm missing here? And so, like I said, that 2520 chart is back in stock. I think it just went back in stock about a month ago, maybe even a few weeks. And it's at vbates.com, and there's a reason it's in stock. Let me hold on, I got to fix this here real quick here. As many know, I spoke with Vern on the phone regarding what I believe to be an error on the chart sometime before his death. I don't remember how long it was. And he did assure me that he regretted sharing the chart as is. Okay? It appeared at the time he had a different view. And I found out later that was the case, because I did see that CD you're talking about, that video that the woman is talking about. So it appeared at the time that he had a different view of it and that he wanted to share it so as to clarify. I'm not sure, but perhaps he planned to place an insert with the chart at point of sale, so as to show what really happened with it, what happened to the 1843 chart. But he never was able to do so because he died not long after that. And yes, he did speak on the 2520 in that video. And that video is titled Time Prophecies, if you can get it. But upon watching it, he did not speak on it in the same manner as some are doing today, or even back then, for that matter, if you think about it. It appears we both agreed, as we were talking on the phone, that the 2520 appears to be more historic than it was prophetic. I mean, the basic reality is, Sister White never spoke on it, but she did say in Spalding and McCann on page 1, paragraph 3, and I think Spalding and McCann is back in 1857 or something like that, but let me put this quote from Spalding and McCann in the room here. And she's talking about the 1843 chart with the 2520 on it, if I'm not mistaken. I could be just mistaken. I don't know. I wasn't there, so. Anyway, she says, I saw that the old chart was directed by the Lord and not a figure of it should be altered except by inspiration. Now notice what she says next, which kind of lends credence to the idea that inspiration was going to happen. She says, I saw that the figures of the chart were as God would have them, and that his hand was over and hid a mistake in some of the figures, so that none could see it till his hand was removed. You know, in other words, and that's what I've been praying about lately, too, in regards to recollection. We were talking about this last night. I always pray and ask for wisdom, discernment, faith, understanding, and focus when I study every morning. But now I'm adding recollection. And I understand, and I trust the prophecy, the promise, of John 14:26, which he'll bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever he has said unto us. But I want even more. I want to have the finer details. Kind of like when Daniel had the dream and the angel came to give him understanding. That's what I want. I want to have, I mean, because I see the symbols and sometimes I can't lock them together. And so I need more understanding, and that's what I'm praying about. And I'm praying about that for all my brothers and sisters, in fact, because we all need to get a better grip on this, because we're going to be asked to speak in the coming days. But one thing I've seen over the years, and how some confused preachers use Leviticus 26 verses 18 to 36. And by the way, when Vern was talking in the video, and I watched it like a week or so ago, I think it was Time Prophecies Volume 1 or Part 1, he used some New Testament references, but I kind of got confused at the way he was doing things on the chalkboard. Well, it was a dry erase board. He's just throwing this all out there so quick. So I usually would go back and like re-watch it if I have to, but I didn't have time. But yeah, he was using New Testament reference. Everybody out there is using the Leviticus 26 thing, you know, the verses 18 to 36. And they do this as a way to build on the 2520, and that's where I believe the confusion began. What they missed is that there's no starting date in Leviticus, as there was when Daniel was given the 2300-year prophecy in chapter 8. And that's the longest prophecy that period in Scripture that we know of. Because, I mean, the angel Gabriel gave him a starting date of 457 B.C., when doing the historic research is found in Daniel 9:25. It doesn't literally say 457 B.C. He tells them certain things have to go down. Jerusalem has to be allowed to rebuild. At that time, you start counting forward for 2300. Now, Satan knew about this. And so, obviously, coming up in the future, because two other kings decided to go ahead and rebuild Jerusalem, but they reneged on it. Artaxerxes didn't. And that happened in 457. And so the angel Gabriel gave him a starting date of 457, which, like I said, doing the research, you can find it in Daniel 9:25, which was confirmed in Ezra chapter 7, verses 1 to 27, and that's the starting point. I have an in-depth, well, here, I'll put the link in the room if anybody, I'll have to type it out. I forgot to, I always build my web pages locally. I don't build them with the URL in them. That way you can actually use the website on a USB drive, except for the PHP stuff. So let me go HTTPS, remnantofgod.org/70weeks. There. And what I put in that, like for those listening on the radio, it's just remnantofgod.org/ 70, you know, the numbers, 70weeks.htm. I go into big detail in regards to that starting point and, you know, and everything. And so doing the math, we come to a literal ending date of October 22nd, 1844 for the 2300. And by the way, for those of us trusting Spirit of Prophecy for additional information, we see that Sister White doesn't even mention the 2520 at all, like I said earlier, because it was never given to her from the Lord. Historic fact is, it was actually preached first in the Millerite movement, which not long after printing the 1843 chart, I do believe they discovered it was not of God and removed it, hence the reason for the second chart 7 years later in 1850, wherein it was removed. And I just found out it's in stock, and Sister Mary Beth is sending it to me. So I'll get it next week, the 1850 chart. The 2520 ain't there. It's just not there. So that means by the time the Seventh-day Adventist Church started, 20 years later, because the 1843 chart is, you know, because the SDA Church began officially 1863. So when they started, 20 years later, it wasn't even part of the ninth hour message. I mean, the fact is, and this may seem a tad confusing for some as to why they still teach it in some circles. Amen. You just got to stick with scripture. That's the only way to go. But the 2520 doesn't take away from the date of 1844 at all anyway, even if somebody was to believe in it. Because they both end on the exact same date of October 22nd, but it's obviously a contrived or misunderstood prophecy due to a confused way of looking at the scripture. Their supposed starting date of 677 B.C. is found nowhere in scripture via plain thus saith the Lord, or even in symbolic prophecy as Gabriel offered to Daniel in Daniel 9:25. Because when you look at that prophecy, it can be deciphered with a real starting date by a simple matter of historic research. And you'll find Artaxerxes right there saying, okay, rebuild. That was 457. So, it appears unfortunate that some confused preachers do appear to have simply placed it there. 677? I think it was 677. So as to have it land on the same date of 1844. Maybe it's not 677, or maybe it's, I don't know, it doesn't matter. It's not a real prophecy anyway. But they did this so that it would land on the exact same date of 1844 so as to give it some sort of biblical or prophetic validity when in fact there is none. Oh, so it is 677? All right, thanks, Alvin. So, but in either event, it just doesn't make sense prophetically at all. The 2520 is a list of historic judgments. If you go into Leviticus, you'll see it. It's a list of historic judgments upon the Jews and not a prophetic event that goes beyond the days they were punished. And I could prove it. But I'll get into that in a minute because it's kind of weird when you look at how, if you're going to call it a prophecy, if you're going to give it a day for the year, you're going to be shocked at what you find here because it goes way beyond reality. Simple, basic, even mathematics. I mean, it's, I'll get into that in a minute. Amen. It's a ball of confusion. And so, but here's even worse that I found out recently. I've heard from some of these, either the believers or the preachers, their claim that if you deny the 2520 prophecy, you cannot gain heaven. But I have a Bible, and I know from Genesis to Revelation, I don't see any mention whatsoever of the biblical means of salvation being anything other than the clear and eternal foundation laid by our Lord, our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ. You can't tell me I have to, just like with the feast day, folks. You got to keep the feast days or you can't be saved. Show me that in the Bible because it's not there. The only way I get saved is by Jesus Christ. And so one thing I've also noticed in all this is how some usually seek to push this on the unlearned babe in Christ. Or they share it with somebody they don't realize ain't just a babe. Because in this case, I think that's what actually happened. It wasn't, they were sharing it maybe with somebody, possibly, I don't know, thinking that they can get them to see it the way they're seeing it. But when you have eyes that see, a lot of people can't, like the natural man cannot see the things of God, so because they're spiritually discerned. And so a lot of times they may think they're coming up to a babe, when in fact they're coming up with, to somebody that actually has understanding. So, or they'll just share it in the church that they know the leaders in the church don't study or even teach prophecy with an obedient heart, because we all know the only way to understand the prophecy is to obey the God that wrote it. And so that all being said, thank you, dear sister, for sending me a copy of the Review and Sabbath Herald of January 1864. I'm going to put the link in the room. If anybody wants to read along, it's on my server now. I put it there, so I got to build the URL again, so give me a minute here. That's right, I'm doing everything local because it's an actual web page I'm reading from. So so it's, again, HTTPS, remnantofgod.org. And then /. Now, this is, you're going to have to email me if you actually, wait, let's see if the thing even shows up with the, good, it does. Okay, good. Because I just noticed the chat room made the front end, the HTTP, I only put /, there should be two. But it still works. Click the white area. Don't click the blue area. And so it's remnantofgod.org /books /docs, like D-O-C-S, /RH1864026-2520.pdf. So that's why I said just email me, or if you wanted to read along, because that's not an easy URL. I should have made it better. I should have made it different for the room. For the folks on WTPR, but you all know I'm not going to read something that ain't there. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to mess up my salvation just to make an invalid point. So let me read to you what's on this page. Oh, and when you get to that link, scroll down until you see yellow stuff. I don't think I put the yellow in, or I think she did. I don't remember, because this was a while ago, and I've gotten probably over 1,000 emails since, and it was just like a few months ago. So, yeah, just scroll down to the yellow area, or orange, and it looks more orange to me than it does yellow. It won't appear on your screen. Okay, then here, I'll do it. Okay, it pulled out the security for some reason. Let me try putting it back in to see what happens. Oh, okay, it works now. For some reason, it pulled out the security. The text chat was doing it. This should be good now. Let's see. Yeah, I got the security back in it. So just click on it now, Brother Anthony. It should work now. Let me just double click and make sure. Okay, it does. And then you just scroll down to the yellow stuff, which is page 4, I think, or no, page 68 of the Review and Herald, but it's page 4 of the document. So... yeah, because this was January, right? Wasn't this in January? Yeah, so they numbered the pages as they go through the year. But this is volume something, number 9 or something. I don't even know what it is. So anyway, this is what it says. And he uses Roman numerals here when he's sharing Bible verses, and it's, you know, strange. But that's how it was back then. It says this. And this is James White talking, and you know his wife signed off on it, you know, so... okay, it says the prophetic period of Leviticus 26, or what has been supposed to be such, has been no small object of study among prophetical expositors. It has been supposed that the expression 7 times, and boy, am I going to get into that later. You're going to be shocked at what I found out. So the expression 7 times in verses 18, 21, 24, and 28 of, you know, Leviticus 26, it's mentioned 4 separate times, okay? 4 times 7 is 28. Just remember that. So he says it denoted a prophetic, they say it denoted a prophetic period of 25, 20 years, and that this period covered the time during which the throne of Israel should be and remain subverted and trodden down by oppressing powers. To rightly fix the commencement and termination of this period became therefore a matter of consequence. Where does it commence? And where does it end? Have been questions of much study and perhaps some perplexity, which makes sense because there's really no starting date. And so he says, these are not the questions, however, that we propose here to discuss, for there is a question lying back of these. which demands to be answered first. Namely, is there any prophetic period brought to view at all in Leviticus 26? We claim that there is not. And we offer, and we will offer a few of what are to us very conclusive reasons for this position. And I thank you again, sister, and everybody for sending me these emails, because this is going to be on the Q&A page permanently, and there'll be an audio for it, because I know others are going to need to hear this and to see this, because there's a big movement out there. It's not so much in our circle of friends anymore like it was a few years ago. People were trying to bring it in. But I notice people out there being confused by this. So anyway, point number one, he says, a series of judgments is threatened against against Israel in case they hearkened not unto God to do his commandments before the expression seven times is introduced, which he echoes as being verses 14 to 17. In these judgments is included being slain before their enemies, being reigned over by those that hated them, and fleeing when none pursued them. Now, if the seven times were meant to cover the period of God's special judgments against Israel, especially of their captivity by foreign powers, these seven times would have been mentioned in connection with the first threatening of judgments of this kind. But this, as we have seen, is not the case. Now, point number two, and you could back all this by scripture because this guy did his homework, right? So after the threatening of these judgments, this is point two, after the threatening of these judgments, God says in verse 18, and if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. The key word there is more. I'll get into that later. Then follows an enumeration of the judgments to come upon them in fulfillment of this, different from the items of the first threatening and increasing in severity. Now, point number three. If they would not for this hearken, seven times more plagues were threatened against them. And then he echoes verse 21. It says, according to their sins. Then again follows an enumeration of judgments to correspond, more severe still than any preceding. In other words, he's stacking them one on top of the other, right? All right. And this is what they don't do in today's world. They pull it all as one big, you know, prophecy, when in fact it's, you know, all these different historic events. Okay, point number four. If they would not be reformed by these things, God threatened to punish them seven times more for their sins, verse 24. And in like manner, with the foregoing and enumeration of the judgments to be inflicted in fulfillment, immediately follows more fearful still. And then point number five, and I think this is his last point that he makes on this, and then he goes into somewhat of a dissertation on it, but he says, and if they would not hearken to God for all these things, he makes a final threat that would walk contrary to them in fury and chastise them seven times for their sins, which, of course, you'll find in verse 28. And then James White says, and an enumeration of the judgments to be inflicted again immediately follows. Again. You like the word more? Okay. Immediately follows, outgoing all before in their terrible severity. Included among them were the eating of the flesh of their sons and daughters, making waste their cities, bringing the land into such desolation that their enemies should be astonished at it, scattering them among all nations, and drawing out a sword after them in all the lands of their dispersion. In other words, he just listed all four, right? With fearful minuteness, all this has been fulfilled, even to the eating of the flesh of their own children, as in the terrible sieges that preceded the downfall of Jerusalem. Thus we have, first, a series of judgments threatened against Jerusalem without the expression seven times, and then the declaration four times made that God would punish them seven times for their sins, each one on condition that the former did not lead to repentance. In other words, if you didn't repent, and here it comes, okay? And so, and each one containing, I think that should be one, it says O-N-O, I'm going to make it into an E, because, you know, those anomalies when you're, because this is a photocopied picture of, and when I pasted it into my software, it, some of the anomalies had to be fixed. And each one containing its own specific enumeration of judgments, distinct from those that preceded and regularly increasing in the severity of their denunciations. I mean, because that's what he said. He just, you're getting this seven times again and again and again and again, right? And so now he says, what is meant by this repeated expression of seven times? We reply, it denotes not the duration of the punishment, but its intensity and severity. It is well expressed in the language of verse 21, which is, thus I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And we all know that the number seven denotes, he just said that. The number seven denoting perfection, we are undoubtedly to understand by this expression the fullness of their punishment, that the measure of their national sins would in every case be fully equated by the measure of their national calamities. And this position is fully sustained by the original, as a brief criticism will show. And then he shares this brief criticism, he says. In reference to the Hebrew, we learned from the Hebrew concordance that the expression seven times in Leviticus 26 comes from the word shevag. And this word is expressly set down by Jesenius in those texts as an adverb, also in Psalm. You figure out that number. I can't figure it out, but it's Psalm something, 164, and then Proverbs 24:16, and then in Daniel 4, verses 16 and 25. And so the expression seven times, twice occurs, where beyond question it means duration. Nebuchadnezzar was to be driven from men and made his dwelling with the beasts of the field until seven times should pass over him. And I love the way he's explaining this, because he's going beyond the prophetic. He's going into the historic, right? Because the word times in prophecy means 2 years, actually, right? So he's sticking with the historic here for a reason. And I'll get to that in a minute. So there can be no mistaking that here the expression means a certain space of time. But here we find not the adverb, as in Leviticus 26, but the noun, gerldam, defined by Jesenius. And then he says, time in prophetic language for a year. Notice he doesn't put an S there, though, because time equals 1 year, a times is two. Half a time is 6 months, right? Because we all know what would have happened in Daniel 7. It's also in Revelation. I'll get it, like I said, I'll get to that in a minute. So time in prophetic language is for a year. In Daniel 7, verse 25, where a prophetic period is brought to view in the expression, a time, times, anti. Let me fix that. And the dividing of time. So there was another anomaly. It came up by a time, right? So, and the dividing of time, which is half a year. So the same word is true in Daniel 7, verse 7, where I think there should be a colon there. Oh, no, is that the way he does it with these Roman numerals? Yeah, he does it with the Roman numerals. So, he does a comma. Okay, so where the same period is again brought to view, and in about the same language, we have another word, inshgelad, defined by Jesenius, meaning appointment of time, spoken of a space of time, appointed and definite in the prophetic style of the year. That's the, like today we use the Strong's Concordance. He was using Jesenius's Concordance. Some guy named Jesenius, I guess. So, he goes on to say that it will, now that guy has to be a B instead of an H, so let me fix that. You can tell I didn't pre-read this. So it will be seen by this definition that this word is synonymous with the one used in Daniel 7, verse 25, as above referred to. Now, if a period of time is meant by the expression seven times in Leviticus 26, one of these words should and would most assuredly have been used. And the fact that neither of these words is there used, but another word, in other words, it's definitely not being used, prophetic words aren't being used, is what he's saying here. And he says then that an adverb places it beyond question that no such period there or is there intended. So, he kind of finishes by saying the Greek is equally definite. The Septuagint has Leviticus 26, heptalis, whatever that is, which is the word heptalysis or whatever. He says it's an adverb signifying seven times in Daniel 4, verse 16 and 25. For Nebuchadnezzar seven times, we have not heptakos, whatever that word. Okay, now it's being spelled differently, so I'm thinking the first one was wrong. So heptakos is probably, so I'm going to change it. Yeah, because look, an L with a C next to it looks like a K to a computer screen when there's a little bit of a smudge of ink. Because again, this is a photocopy. It's not being typed. So heptakos, which is an adverb, but heptakario is a noun. And it's adjective, and it's adjective. Adjective? Okay. And in all cases where the word time occurs, denoting a prophetic period as Daniel 7:25 or Daniel 7:7 or Revelation 7:14, it is from the noun karyos. Such a thing as prophetic period based on an adverb is not to be found. I mean, he's locking it down way beyond. I mean, and it's a good way to do it. You want to do overkill so that there's no question whatsoever what he's talking about here. This is definitely not a prophecy. So he finishes by saying, so then, there is no prophetic period in Leviticus 26. And those who imagine that such a thing exists and are puzzling themselves over the adjustment of its several dates are simply beating the air. To ignore or treat with neglect a prophetic period where one is plainly given, you know, like Daniel 7 or Revelation 7, is censorable in the extreme. In other words, they're shutting it down now. That's the thing that Satan wants to do. He wants to make the Bible look questionable. And so when someone declares this to be a prophecy and they go to the Bible to see it as a prophecy, either they're going to believe the version of man's assumptions or the Bible. They can't believe both because the Bible's saying otherwise. And so he says it is equally futile, though not so heinous, of course, to endeavor to create one where none exists. Now, after reading all that from James White, I cannot help to wonder how some that claim the 25:20 is a prophetic period by using the seven times statement from the Lord that we see was used four times in Leviticus 26, verses 18, 21, 24, and 28. It amazes me how they are missing such an obvious blunder in their prophetic definition here. Since James White echoed the prophetic statement of times in Daniel 7 to make a valid point, being that in reality is known to be a year in the context of the passage that they give. See, that they give. I'm going to put that. I have to say that claiming all four references to seven times being four separate prophetic periods or prophetic events equaling 25:20 actually cripples their prophecy, for in reality a times equates to a year. Time equates to a year in both Numbers 14:34 and Ezekiel 4:6. I give thee a day for a year, right? This means each times referenced here equates to 360. Now it's getting confusing, I know, because I'm letting James White speak at the same time I'm trying to bring it forward. I'm going to have to redo this to some extent, I'm thinking, because he's declaring the times that are being used here on the historic, they're giving the word times as if it's a 360 days or a year. The problem is when declaring this seven times occurring four different times in Leviticus would mean they are actually claiming their seven times is multiplied by four, actually being 28 times. And that is where they cripple their own prophecy. For if their prophecy was to be of God, it would follow after and agree with that which God had penned already in his word regarding the definition of the word times. Okay, so I got to go back to put that S back in that, because now I know where I was going with this. If it was, as they claim, to be prophetic, then they have to apply their times definition to every one of the seven times in Leviticus 26. You can't change the Bible. They're saying times, because that's what Leviticus says. But they're saying it's prophetic. But the Bible says times means 2 years. Because that's how I get the 28 times. And that simply can't work, because even if it was just 1 year, okay, let's just say it's just 1 year, because that's what they're assuming. Okay? So, wait, let me put that in here, though. That is, of course, if they believe times equals 1 year. Okay, now, so the reason being that this would be an issue, if they say the times here is only 1 year, then just do the math, because it's seven times, but it happens four separate times. And so four times seven is 28. And if each one only equals 1 year, like they're claiming, then that comes to 10,080 years. 10,080 years. Problem with that is, the planet is only 6,000 years old when Christ returns. It's 6,000 years old now, so he's going to be here soon, right? Now, here's the other clincher. This is even worse. If instead they decide to cave in and say that, okay, then times now equals, you know, in the historic manner, as James White was illustrating, were to allow, well, let me just reword this here in my mind. If instead of defining the term times in a historic manner, as James White was illustrating, they do, I just got to add that, they do, and instead we were to allow for the prophetic term times to equal, we already know it to equal in prophecy, and that, of course, be 2 years, as per the prophecies of both Daniel 7:25 and Revelation 12:14, which both speak of a time, times, and half a time, then the 28 times actually equates to 56 times. You just double it, because it's 2 years. It's not 1 year. Because so that would mean 4 times 7 in Leviticus would equate to the Jews being punished for 20,160 years. And again, that's historically impossible, seeing that Christ has promised in his Good Samaritan parable 2,000 years ago that he would return in 2,000 years. That's our day, our day. He said in that parable that he'll be back in 2 days, and we all know to God a day is 1,000 years, right? And so we know what I actually have a pretty good write-up about that in my Secret Rapture page, and I believe it is question number 190 on the Q&A page, where I go into a little bit more detail than I did on my Rapture page, I mean the Secret Rapture Exposed page. So again, if they allowed for the word times to actually equal, which they have to do this because they're saying this is a prophecy, and in prophecy the term times means 2 years, and so that means they're saying that the Jews are going to be punished for 20,160 years. But our Lord, our Savior, our King said he's coming back in 6,000 years. And so as we know, the 6,000 years are nearly over, and there's no way that the Lord will tarry for up to an additional 14,160 years to return, which would equate to 20,160 years in total. I know, you know, the last part of that seems a little confusing, and when you see it in type, so I'm going to put it on the Q&A page, it'll make a little bit more sense, because then you can stop and reread and stop and reread, because that's what I had to do to try to explain this. If this is really a prophecy of 25:20, and if the times is allowed to be defined like all the rest of the Bible is, you can't change Christian prophecy, you can't change the definitions or not, but you can't say the seven times means, you know, seven time. You can't just say it's seven time. It has to be seven times. So each time it says seven times. That equates to 14 years. Seven, you know, double years. You know, seven times. And the times equals 2 years. So seven times equals 14 years. So, and then you just multiply that by four. And you get the 56. And then you get the 20,160 years. And but their punishment, I mean, they're still being punished now. But it's a different punishment now. Totally different. And so there you have it. And I hope and pray that you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.